Hello, this is Todd, who goes by Andrew these days, Farley, along with Diana Pulliam, and our sister from another mother, Rachel Baxter, who we are very excited to have as our guest today. I've known who Rachel is and her a little bit from several years on Facebook, being led to certain messages the Spirit of the Lord has given her. I think Diana has known her even longer, but the reason that we're having Sister Rachel today is I had a moment a while back myself with the Spirit of the Lord when I was studying and receiving some revelations about more on our identity. And with everything Diana has been sharing and what the Spirit of the Lord has led us so far, I found out all of a sudden, and I don't think it was random, our sister who's visiting us had written a book recently and published a new book called The Revelation of Israel. God's plan is our destiny. And I'm like, oh, wow. I went to her site for the information on the book, and I got very excited. Talked to Diana, and we reached out to Rachel, and she has graciously agreed to give up her time and share what the Spirit of the Lord would say to his people in conjunction with everything that we've been sharing so far about the bride, the churches in the book of Revelation, who are we really, and much more. So that said, I want to turn it over to Sister Rachel, who is going to share, and I'm going to mute myself. Take it over, Sister Rachel.
Thank you so much, Andrew. And thank you, Diana. I feel very honored to have this opportunity to share what God has placed in my heart and the message he's given me for right now, for this time, for his people. And so thank you so much. And I thank the Lord that he, you know, is the one guiding your steps and guiding mine. And I thank you for his people who are awakening to who they really are. And with that, I'll pray to get started, and then we'll see what the Lord wants to share here. So, Father God, I am yours and you are mine. And that's the primary truth for all of your children that you want so much for us to understand. We belong to you. You've always had a plan over our lives. You have not for one moment left us or forsaken us, despite our fallen nature, our confusion, and the deception that we have been under, having lost our identity so long ago. So Lord, today I give you this time. I ask that you would be the one speaking, guiding, leading. I pray that you would open hearts to hear this message. Lord, I pray that you would supernaturally lead people to this message, your children, that they would hear, and that something new would stir in their hearts to repent, if they need to repent, because we all do, to turn back to our first love, because you're it, to choose to follow you in a greater way than we have, Lord, because the time is short and you have so much for each of us. So I thank you, Lord Jesus, for all you're about to do. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So I thank God for his patience over me the last many years. I'm going to just share really briefly a part of my testimony. The Lord had me write my first book a few years back, and it's called Lifted Up, My Wholehearted Testimony. And it was, to me, as I look back now, it was, you know, God's nature. He allowed me to write my testimony first. And then this book is his story. His story and his story. And I love that. And so, because the truth is, he loves us first. Years ago, the scripture that convicted my heart and brought me back to him was from Romans, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And there really is nothing special in me apart from what he's done. There's really not. I get teary whenever I think of how far he's brought me. Because like most of us, you know, my upbringing was hard, wasn't ideal. I know my parents did the very best they could, to raise me and my siblings, but things were hard. And an early way that I learned to cope was by performing. There's a scripture that talks about, you know, the gifts are given without repentance. And God chose to give me a lot of gifts. He's always given me a strong mind, very capable. I'm a problem solver by nature. I ended up going into engineering because of that. But I learned that the more that I performed for people, that I could get them to love me, or I could get my value by what they thought of me or what I accomplished. And so a number of years ago, 2013, 2014 timeframe, you know, I had come back to the Lord. I was going to church and all those things, 'cause I was raised in the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. And I'm thankful for that because I have the Bible in me. That's what Lutherans, I think, do really well, is getting God's word in us. We don't always apply it to our life very well, and oftentimes live only out of, you know, that Sunday morning experience, which is sad and so far from God's heart. But the Lord used an inner healing ministry called One Whole Heart to really heal my heart, at least the first major part of it, so that I could come back to Him. It's, I think, inner healing is a journey until and unless you meet Jesus face to face, and He can do it in the moment, but oftentimes God gives us tools and skills and all of those things through people that have sought after Him. And One Whole Heart just has this amazing revelation of inner healing and how to help people walk in inner healing. And so God chose me. He chose me to go through this ministry, and it changed my life. I began to hear God's voice. That still small voice that's within us, and, you know, begin to recognize that most of my life I'd been listening to my own vain imagination or the enemy's voice, which is always, you know, speaking death and despair and lies and deception. And, but God's voice, it's different. You know, His voice is encouraging, lifting. He's as clear as He wants to be. I'll say it like that, because so many times in my life, the Lord's given me one little piece, but He knows how He made me. He knows how He knit me together to be someone who wants to seek out the mysteries of God, and understand. And so He'll give me pieces, and, you know, He's walked with me so faithfully for the last 8 or 9 years. He's just walked with me so faithfully. And as I began to hear His voice, I became spirit filled and I began speaking in tongues. And those are the gifts that God gives, right? So that we'll be close to Him, and that we'll recognize that we're a spirit in a body with a mind. We're not just flesh. We're not just the bones and the skin and the muscles, you know, and we can look around at this depraved society and see that the lie, a primary lie, is that this is all there is and this is all that we are. Is how we feel and what feels good. And that is so far from the truth. It's so far. And so as I learn to walk in the Spirit, and I'm still learning, and my husband's here with me, and I'm sure those that love us the most know how far we have to go yet, right? But I know He's seen my growth too. He's proud of me and my growth, but learning to walk more and more in the Spirit and less in my flesh, because the flesh is at enmity with God. And in the Spirit, we cannot sin, but in our flesh, we only sin. And so I want to walk in the Spirit and be led by the Spirit of God. And so as I heard His voice for a number of years, and I think this is very similar to you, Diana, because when I began sharing the things God was giving me, I would read the things that God was giving you and speaking to you. And He talks to us very similarly. And I love that. And that's a great confirmation. And then at the same time, there are other people that when I read the words God's given them, it's so different than how I hear God, but my spirit confirms it's true. And so I like to think of the way that each of us are meant to be a fingerprint, right? We each have an individual fingerprint. There's no one on the planet like ours. And we are each that for God. We're each just this individual representation of a piece of who He is. And together, we make more and more of the picture as the body of Christ comes together, we can put the picture together, put the story together, put the understanding together, and we can more and more reflect him. And that's why the body coming together is so vital. It's so vital. And really that, you know, that begins to lead into this revelation of Israel that God has given me over a number of years. This place of God always had a plan. And the plan was always for one people, for to have one people, not to have, you know, 10,000 denominations, but to have one people that knew their Lord, that knew their God, that followed him, that walked in his ways, that reflected his love, reflected his character, and were prepared and ready to bring others into his family. That was always the plan. And it didn't change. It didn't change when sin came into the world. It didn't change when the kingdom separated. And I'll talk a little bit about that, this history of God's people, his story of his people. We have to remember that God is off the timeline. He's not on our timeline. He's apart from it. And so that's how he can see the end from the beginning. He wrote the end from the beginning, Isaiah tells us. And there's not a surprise under heaven, right? He's seen it all play out. And so I think for me, a key part of this journey has been recognizing that as a little Lutheran girl, little girl going to Sunday school and realizing Jesus came, God's son came and he died for me. And, you know, I accept Jesus into my heart and now it's done. Great. Now I can check that off my list, right? It's a lot how we see Christianity played out. And even, and I'm not going to condemn anyone. I don't want to be a condemner of people. We've all just done the best we could do. And oftentimes we live out of a partial understanding. And I think evangelists, and I've even heard it said by one particular evangelist that the Lord condemned his heart because it was like the Lord said to him, you've gone about and you've, you know, impregnated all these people and then you've left them fatherless. And the gospel, Jesus, what he did, he came and he lived and he died and he sent his Holy Spirit. And we're meant to go out into the world making disciples, not just saving people. And so again, there's this place of God's story wasn't just about Jesus coming to redeem himself, redeem us to himself. It was more than that. The redemption is the start. And the Lord told me that once. He said, Rachel, salvation is step one, but don't forget about the next step. Don't forget about discipleship, right? Jesus didn't just go save people. What was the first thing he did? He called men to himself and then he discipled them. He walked with them. He taught them about his father. He said, I only do what you see my father doing. Watch what I do and then do what I do. And that was God's plan reflected in Jesus's life. And after he left this earth and he left Holy Spirit and, you know, his spirit is with us, within us, leading us, teaching us all those things. And his spirit is what's meant to go forth. So people are saved, praise God. They accept Jesus into their hearts. And then what? Then we have to be teaching people about what it is to walk with them. That's what he's been doing with us, right? If you're lucky, you've had a community, and I'm speaking, you know, to the people listening here. If you're lucky, you've had a community of people around you, hungry like you are, to seek after the ways and the things of God, and you've been able to do it together. If your story is different, and you've been the only one, you know, crazy going after God, then he's been with you doing it himself, teaching you. And I know people from both of those groups. I know people who I've talked to, met with, that are so much further along in their journey because all they had was the Lord. And he has been doing incredible things that only God can do to give them the understanding they need to walk and lead others. God blessed me with a community around me the last 8 or 9 years. People hungry. My best friends are hungry after the Lord. They love their families. They love their children. I'm in a season. My children right now are ages 10 to 16, almost 16 in a week or two. And, you know, I'm a mother, I'm a wife, I work, I help provide for my family. And, the people around me are similar but I've been surrounded by people hungry. God is waking people up one by one, by one, by one, by one, one at a time. He's waking us up. and to whether we are coming back to him again or whether it's the first time. And so this book, his story of his plan, this is the way that he showed it to me. I'm just going to be honest with you that, you know, he gave me pieces. And as he gave me pieces, and before the picture had even come into view, I first had to grieve the life I thought I would have. I first had to grieve the life I thought my children would have. Now, we don't know the time. We don't know. But in my heart, I believe the time is soon, that we're seeing the things, you know, when God really gave me very specific words about things that were going to happen. World War III will begin when, boom, you know, he spoke that. This is the Spirit of the Living God came, you know, has come to you and said, these profound moments where the Lord said, look here, this is what will happen. And again, I see in part, I'm not bragging. I don't know everything. I don't know what's going to happen all the time. I meet people who have better understanding than I have. So, but I know what God's given me. And I know that we are beginning to see quickening. If when the Lord spoke some of these things to me, 2014, 2015, the world looked very different. You know, we weren't, it was even hard to fathom some of the things the Lord was saying to me that were going to happen. And now I am seeing them happen. Really beginning in 2020, I really began seeing them happen. I'm like, oh my gosh, Lord, you said that would happen. Here it is. I believe it, Lord, but I can't believe it. Like, we're here. And so I'm saying to you, I had to grieve the life, and I grieved the life my children that I thought they were going to have. That was the first step for me, was to accept and then say, Lord, but I trust you. I trust that your plans are better than any plan I could ever make for myself or my family. He's chosen us to live at this time. How blessed are we? We are his blessed generation. We are going to see all the things that the prophets, 3,000, you know, Abraham, 4,000 years ago, 5,000, you know, the people, these things, the Lord, Enoch, when he walked with the Lord, I know the Lord told him. I know the Lord showed Enoch what his plan was. Enoch walked with the Lord and he was no more. God walked with Enoch to such a degree that at some point Enoch stopped living on the earth and only lived with the Lord in heaven. That's what I believe. And so the Lord showed us that early in scripture, because it's a promise for us today. Somehow, as the world gets darker and we're seeing it all around us, somehow the promise is the work that he will do within us to walk with him, if we'll choose to walk with him in such a degree that we no longer walk out of our flesh, but we walk in the Spirit fully as the manifest sons of God, becoming the bride of Christ, right? All right, so that's for another time, but that's the promise. So I grieved, the Lord showed me the promise, but Rachel, this is going to be so good, get ready. All right, and then the Lord began giving me pieces of this promise, this promise in scripture. So I'm one of those people where God has like kept me in Ezekiel and Isaiah and Daniel and Jeremiah. And I mean, I've camped out there for years. I can't get enough. I keep going back there. So my call happens to be that area. Other people, they're camped out in the book of John their whole life. Praise God. All right. So we're each called to something different. That's my call, is this Old Testament prophet, you know. So you probably know this, a third of the Bible is prophecy, and much of it is yet to be fulfilled. So how can we know that Jesus isn't going to return tomorrow? As I was taught, like Lutheran doctrine is Jesus could come anytime. No, he can't. No, God's God. He can do whatever he wants. So from that perspective, yes. But God, he chose to give us his word, and his word will not return void. So we can know that his promises are yes and amen. We can know that he's going to do what he said he's going to do. And we've got a record of him doing what he said he would do. The other, you know, parts of the prophecy that have been perfectly fulfilled to the, you know, to the minute, Jesus' return, Jesus' death on the cross, his resurrection, all according to a perfect timepiece we find in Leviticus 23. So we know God's going to do what he said he's going to do. And so that is what this book is about. Where the Lord had me start is I want to tell just a really brief story. I actually created a video series. You might know this from hearing me speak that like my heart is equipping. I've really never thought of myself as a teacher, but I am. My heart is to equip people. When I learn something, I can't wait to share it. And so a number of years ago, I actually created this video series, and I didn't mean to, just kind of happened. And it was this book, but it was in video, and it wasn't in part. It was, I was missing some key pieces that God has since filled in, and I'm sure he'll continue to add. But so I kind of have had this book in me for a number of years and just waiting for the right time. I actually sat down to start writing it in 2020, and the Lord was like, nope, he closed it. Nope. And then last year I saw that I'd written kind of a chapter, and he's like, nope. And so it was in December of 2021, just past December, just a few months ago, this came out of me in a 2 week period of time, I wrote this, but it was really in me for a number of years. And so, but what had happened was that prior year, there was an experience, and this would be typical for me in the past. And I will tell you that the way the Lord used to speak to me in like 2014 and 2015, it's different now because we grow, right? Because we move from milk to meat. And I think that would be similar to Diana would probably tell you the same thing and other folks about this prophetic word. But it's typical. The Lord will wake me in the middle of the night. And I feel like I want to get to a place in my own heart and growth that the Lord can just really give me profound things in the middle of my day. And he does sometimes, but usually they're little pieces. It's like, I have to get out of my own way or get out of his way so he can do what he needs to do. And so, you know, your defenses are down at night, I like to say. And so he woke me and asked me to come downstairs, and, you know, he's gentle. I want to, but you know, you're sleepy and all that. And so I eventually get up and I go downstairs and I sit and I'm like, Lord, what are you going to do? You know, what's going on, Lord? And, he showed me a picture. And so I see in the spirit, and I want to say to everybody listening, we're all meant to see in the spirit because we are spirits. Okay. But also each of us kind of, we're different. We have different gifts, and some things come more naturally to us and some things we have to work at. And so, when I began to hear God's voice, I also began to see in the spirit, and I would see a lot. The Lord's taught me a lot. And so that could be for Andrew and Diana, that could be, you know, down the road, something to talk about, because I think it's a topic I don't hear very much about, and about teaching people to see in the spirit, because what you're really doing is you're teaching. The Lord wants to teach us to trust our heart that's tuned to his heart. And how did Jesus only do what he saw the Father doing? He had to see it, you know, and maybe he saw it internally. And so when I see in the spirit, I see both internally. I'll see a picture in my mind's eye that I'm not projecting there. I'm not like trying to have a thought. And that's not my imagination. Just something shows up. That's seeing in the spirit. Other times I literally see things with my eyes. I'll see angels. I'll see demonic. I've seen a ton of demonic over the years. God's taught me a lot about the demonic. A lot of persecution in the nighttime hours of the Lord teaching me. But anyway, all of that is preparation. And so this particular night I saw an angel come and stand in front of me and hand me the most beautiful green, emerald green, gold embroidered scroll case. It was so incredibly beautiful. I can just still see it so perfectly. Handed it to me, and I reached my hands out and they set it in my hands. And so now it's not a physical object. It wasn't like I could feel it in my hands, but I had done this enough times with angels to know that I was being given something. And so I took my hands and placed them over my heart as if to take it into my heart. And the Lord said, I want you to go to Zechariah. And I was sitting on my couch, and, you know, 3 a.m, and opened my Bible to Zechariah. And he just began showing me book by book by book, chapter by chapter of Zechariah, his story. And so when I went to write this book, The Revelation of Israel, God's Plans, Our Destiny, in December, the Lord said, I want you to start with that. That's where I want you to start. That's the first chapter. And so I couldn't have written this until I received that, you know? And so sometimes you're like, Lord, you know, he's put so much in each of us. And the hungrier you are, the more you might feel this, like, oh, let me go already, Lord. Like, isn't it time? Like, I know I meant to do this. And we wait for him. And I did say to him, as I sat down to write this, I said, Lord, I don't want to write one single page without you. I spent way too much of my life operating out of my own strength, figuring things out on my own. And I don't want to write one single page that's Rachel. I want this to be you. And Lord, you deserve it. This is yours. This is your story. Who am I? Let me be a scribe that just hears you really, really well. And so I also want to say that as we co-labor with the Lord, God could do everything without us, but he chooses to do all things through us. God could have made a way to save all of us without sending his son, but he chose that method. He chose a human. He chose a God human. He's part human, part God, co-laboring. Like, I think that's the epitome of the co-labor. I have a friend, you know, that this just does such an amazing job at obedience. She hears the Lord and she operates, and she hears the Lord and she operates, and she just won't even operate. She won't even go forward without hearing the Lord. And I love that. It's so, so good. And I honor that. And then I feel like there's a place where I recognize somehow God's been able to show me how valuable I am to him, that he chooses to co-labor with me, to do it with me. And so in writing this book, I felt like there were times where it was okay that I would share my experience of what he'd shown me, or what he was doing in me, or because what do any of us have to offer but our walk with him? So that's a part of what this book is sharing some of these really special, precious experiences with the Lord, because we're meant to have them. So, all right, that's all a preamble. Good night. Good grief. Okay. Go ahead. So what is this book about? So it starts with the book of Zechariah. And what you'll find is that each chapter of Zechariah gives a piece. It gives a piece of God's story. And so I didn't know I was going to do this, but I feel like the Lord's leading me to do this. I'm going to kind of give you the summary. Okay. So what the Lord did was he basically gave me the title of each of the chapters of Zechariah. And remember that when the Lord, through scribes, wrote the Bible, there weren't chapters, right? Man added those, but we pray that they're inspired by the Lord. And so these 14 chapters, so 14, and here is Zechariah, a story only the Lord could pen. So here's how the Lord laid out the chapters. And I'm going to give you this story, and then I'm going to, we're going to focus on the promises of God and how he has fulfilled them and how he will fulfill them. Because we can only rely on the promises of God. So here is Zechariah, a story only the Lord could pen. The Lord has remembered his people Israel. Though he has scattered her, he is calling to her to come out of the heathen nations and return to his ways. Through his spirit dwelling within us, we can do this. Before we were born again, we lived under the curse of sin. But because Jesus came and paid the price for sin, we receive justice and mercy through him as he builds his temple within us. In the last days, which we've been chosen to live, we will see the remnant of God's people return to him spiritually and physically. We will also see God's enemies, Israel's enemies, receive judgment. God promises that the descendants of Joseph will be saved, though it was the Lord himself who separated the southern kingdom of Israel, Judah, from the northern kingdom, Israel. We will see Judah, the Jews, stand as an emblazoned torch as Jerusalem is protected under God's watchful eye. Then a cleansing sword will come, and only a remnant will be brought through the refiner's fire to witness Jesus' ultimate victory against evil in the day of the Lord, which has come. And so that, what I just shared with you, this paragraph is just a summary. It's putting the 14 chapters together, the titles of the chapters. So I love that, because only God could do that. Rachel could not do that. I am not capable of that. That is only the majesty of our Lord. And so then as I continued on writing this book of God's story, he said, I want you to use my promises because they're important. And it's very clear to see. We can look historically and see very clearly what has been fulfilled and what has not yet been fulfilled. And we can know that God will fulfill his word. So we can know that it will happen, and it can help us sort things out. So for me, one of the things I didn't understand, as I told you that there was a period where I had to grieve what was the Lord had shown me was going to happen, because it wasn't the status quo of America and the other nations. It was a lot harder than that. But he showed me in his word, even back then years ago, he showed me, look, Rachel, look how I protect my people. So just because there's all these really, really hard things going on, and though they fall at your right hand and your left hand. So Psalm 91, for most of us, it's a favorite because it's an incredible promise of what God will do. And so Psalm 91, you know, though they fall, I will protect you, rest under the shadow of my wing, right? And so he needed to show me, and this place of, well, a lot of times the Lord will, a lot of times people will ask, like, how could God do that? How could he allow that? I mean, surely there's this, he gave us the rapture to take us out of all these hard, bad things, right? And my answer, my response is, and I know in my heart of hearts what God's shown me, I'm going to go through it. I'm going to be on this earth to go through what's ahead. That's why he created me. He created me to be prepared and ready to walk through, run through, drag others through, carry others through what is about to happen. I'm not going anywhere, and I wouldn't want to go anywhere, to be honest. I know it's going to be hard, but I know that God makes a way. And what his word does over and over and over and over and over and over shows us that he's faithful to make a way. So I'm hard pressed to find examples in the Bible where the Lord rescued people, trials and temptation and disaster, but he makes a way through it. And that is what is going to happen in the years ahead. He will make a way if we will seek him, if we will be willing to let go of everything that we're holding on to that's not him, that's an idol in our hearts, he will make a way. So his promises matter, okay? So much of this book is about God's promises and what he has done already and what he is yet to do. And the other thing is I meet a lot of people who really don't have a good sense of what the Old Testament is all about. And I think it's because Christians, most of the denominations, spend a lot of time in the New Testament. Praise God. It's important. Yep. We need it. We need Jesus. We need what he told us, but they don't understand that the Old Testament is a gift given to us for us to know who God is and to know his ways. If you never read the Old Testament, you miss a huge blessing of really understanding the Father's heart, his plan for his children. So the other thing that I felt like was important in this book was in his story is Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, you know, where did these people, Israel, come from? I feel like the Lord, you know, as I've gone back and reading this and editing it and things like that, I'm kind of amazed actually as I read it. It's so much better than I could ever write. So it's clearly his. But it's like, Lord, your story is so amazing. You know, only God could choose to do what he has done through this man, Abraham, who was the first Hebrew. And what does Hebrew mean? To cross over, from death to life, cross over from a separation from God to intimacy with the Father. I mean, that's what being a Hebrew is. And so Abraham was the first Hebrew, and out of Abraham came Isaac, and out of Isaac came Jacob, who would become Israel. And so much of this book is just getting that in our hearts. It's a lot of scripture. It's a lot of what did the Lord say he would do and how did he do it? And because he did it before, we can know that he'll do it again. And so where I want to start or in the middle of whatever, there was, as I prayed this morning and asked the Lord, like, Lord, where do you want to focus? I really feel like he brought my attention to the concept of covenant. And so this is near the end of the book. And I want to share with you a journal entry that I have from January of 2015 and an experience, an interaction I had with an angel that came for a couple of week period that brought me something and brought me some understanding. So I'm going to start here with covenant. And so this is this experience, if you've never heard the term theophany, theophany is the experience of God. I had an angelic encounter experience. I've had several over the years. The last like in-person face-to-face angelic encounter that I had was in 2018. November 2018, and that seems like forever ago. And I'm like jealous after God that it's been so long. It was very profound, and the Lord, the things the Lord said, I am waiting to see happen, and it will only be Him that it happens. But that encounter was face to face in November of 2018. I was scared out of my noodle. I jumped across my bed, and then I hid under my covers. And the Lord was like, but the peace of the Lord was there. I knew it was from God and not Satan. And so anyway, that's one kind of encounter where the Lord, you know, an angel brings a message. An angel, the angels that come to us to talk to us are messengers. They have something to share, something to guide us. And that angel was a messenger. So in this experience in January of 2015, it was different. It wasn't a face-to-face encounter. It was whenever I would shut my eyes, I would see this angel standing there. So it was being projected onto the screen of my mind, this angel, and I could feel this angel. And I'm like, what are you doing? So anyway, I'm just going to read my journal entry, and then I'll talk about it a little bit. So with my eyes closed, I saw a large angel who was the size of three men. He was sitting at a sort of a wall, dressed in a black suit, a white shirt, and a black tie. He had brown, well-manicured hair. So he looked like a person, only he was ginormous. He was stocky in build and very strong. His legs were like tree trunks. The wall behind him looked like it was made of railroad ties. They were holding back a large body of water as far as the eye could see. It was like I was looking at a pier. In front of the ties and where the angel was sitting was a foundation of some sort. So he was standing on something. The angel would look at me, but otherwise didn't move. When I closed my eyes, I would always see the same picture off to the right at an angle. So kind of like at your like 2 o'clock. I had a sense that there was something in the angel's hand, but I couldn't see it at first. I asked God during that period of time, I asked God to help me understand what I was seeing, because by this point, I'm a couple of years into this experiencing the Lord, and He doesn't do anything without a purpose. And I want to be honest with you, there's been many times God has given me wonderful theophany or revelation, even understanding wisdom, and I haven't been dutiful to treasure it like a gift and really pour myself into it. And so I want you to know I'm fallible, and yet He has continued to have patience with me. And so I heard from the Lord at this time that the angel was an angel of both protection and provision. The angel's job was to hold back the water, the provision for a time. So I said in my journal, yesterday when I woke up, I saw the same picture, but this time I saw the angel stand up and walk away from me to the end of the railroad tie wall as if he was getting out of the way. I noticed that the angel had a briefcase in his hand. Later in the day, I was talking to friends about this. I felt the Holy Spirit as I was speaking about the water being held back. So as I was speaking, it was like the Lord was giving me understanding. It's like the water represents all the provision that is to come. We were being positioned into the right place so that when the water is released, we will flow with it. In other words, it was like He wanted to get us in the banks of what would become the river, so that when the dam was released, we would go in the direction of the flowing water. His desire is for the provision to carry us along without any effort. This morning, I saw the angel hand me the briefcase. Inside the briefcase is a scroll. Written on top of the scroll is the word covenant in bold uppercase letters with curly, fancy font. I could not read the rest of the scroll, but I asked God what the covenant was. I heard that we will be His people and He will be our God. Later, the Lord told me to eat the scroll, and so I did. All right, so that's the journal entry. In the weeks after this experience, the Lord continued to speak to me about this covenant that I had entered into with Him by eating the scroll. These are some of the things that He said. So this is back to what I heard from the Lord. My covenant is for this generation. My children hear my voice when I call to them. I will speak out in a quiet voice, and they will all shout out in a resounding hymn of victory. Stand with me, trust in me. Let me lead you into receipt of every promise I've spoken to you. The key to unlocking the gift of treasure is found only in my heart. I invite you in, my bride, to take your place established in the heavens before time began. You are not of the people that inhabit this place. You are my children, and I am your God. I place on you the seal of those meant to carry out my purposes for the next generation. I want to pause a second and say a couple of things about that. when the Lord said to me, you're not of the people that inhabit this place, I didn't know what that meant. Now, this book is the understanding of that. How could we be living in a place like, for example, I'm in Florida right now on vacation with my husband. I am not a Floridian, right? I am not of these people, but I'm here. I'm physically here. Another example, I live in Omaha, Nebraska today. I've lived there for the last, 14 years, but I was raised in Iowa. So I feel like I'm from Iowa, like I'm an Iowan, but I live in Nebraska. So when he says, you're not of the people that inhabit this place, what's the Lord saying? You can be somewhere without being those people, right? I'm not a Floridian, even though I'm in Florida right now. He's saying, you're mine. Even though you're living in amongst some of those that are not mine, you are mine. You are my children and I'm your God. And so then he says, I place on you the seal of those meant to carry out my purposes for the next generation. So God, here we are standing at the end of this age under Satan. It's not the end of the world, not the end of this earth, because I believe that we will, because scripture says there'll be 1,000 years with living on this earth with Christ, with Jesus, living and reigning on this earth. So the end of the world comes at the end of the next 1,000 years, but we are at the end of this age, right? And so, but here the Lord is, and he's shown this to me even by 2015. I knew that, I understood that we were at the end of something, but the beginning of the next thing. And so he's talking about the purposes of the next generation. God talks about God's plan till this point, but it's also about the plan that comes next. What comes next? God has a plan for the next generation. He's been planning for this. And I, you know, here I am with my children. I believe my children are going to walk from this age into the next, whether as martyrs who get to return and reign with Christ for 1,000 years, or whether they make it through what is about to happen. But he's got a plan. And so carry out my purposes for the next generation. We're his people that get to move from this age to the age to come. So I'm going to continue on. He says, I will show you a way, not of this world. I will show you how to possess my power to heal, to regrow, and to bring restoration to the weary soul. Praise God. What a promise. The Lord continues, my covenant is one that requires purification. You must be made pure and holy so that I may be in your midst. I desire to rest upon you and to dwell there with my children. I will show you how to purify the land and your hearts that you may accept me. So pausing again to say that part of the story that you read, God's story in the Old Testament, as God brought his people Israel out of Egypt, wandering for 40 years and then into the promised land, when they were in the wilderness, God's heart was to be among them. He wanted to be with them. And so there had to be purification. So at that time, the Lord, Moses went up to Mount Sinai, also called Mount Horeb, and came back down with the tablets, the 10 commandments, right? And then they lived out for, and that was early in the Exodus. So they lived another 30, whatever it was, 39 plus years before the 40-year period was over, living out what God had shown them, like what it is to live out of purification, out of a place of purity. What are God's ways? Moses teaching them God's ways. So the purity, God used animal sacrifice to bring purity. Now we're living under the new covenant. We're living where a time where Jesus has already came and paid the price once and for all. He is our sacrifice. All we have to do is choose to live with underneath his blood. And as a part of this inner healing ministry, every day, all day long, this is something, I say something like this similarly. If someone says something to hurt or offend me, you know, it could be super minor. Someone cuts you off in traffic. It could be one of my kids saying something that really hurts me. I say something like this. I choose to forgive them. I place that hurt under the blood of the cross, fully forgiven and severed from my life. I ask you to bless them, Lord, and I choose to bless them. Lord, I ask forgiveness for my sin. I place it under the blood of the cross, fully covered in your blood, Lord, and severed from my life. It's not who I am. And then I ask the Lord to come close. I ask Holy Spirit to come close into that place in my heart where I had that hurt. Okay, that's living from a place of forgiveness and repentance. That is purifying my own heart through what Jesus did, because I can't do it on my own. How many times have all of us tried to forgive someone but can't out of our own will? You know, you might say it over and over, but then you find yourself having those thoughts like, you know, my mom, oh, she said that thing to me. You know, and you play it out over and over. Without Jesus, we can't forgive, but we can through him. So he is that purification. So wanted to kind of clarify to me, what does that mean when he talks about, I want to teach you about purifying yourself because I want to live in your midst. There is no earthly limit to the beauty and power that the children will walk in that walk with me. Trust my words, for they are true. You must not fear anything of this world, for we have triumphed. We co-laboring through what Jesus did. We have triumphed. And now we get to experience the thrill of victory before the coming of the Lord and Savior. This is the Lord saying, you know, yes, I've shown you this tribulation that is coming upon your land, America, and upon all of the earth, all of the nations of the earth. And it's going to be hard. It's going to be tough. It's going to be bad. All of those things. Okay. But at the same time, he's saying, there is no earthly limit to the beauty and power that you'll walk in. You must not fear anything of this world, for we have triumphed. And now we get to experience the thrill of victory before Jesus comes. He's not saying after. He's saying before. Before, even before. Because we walk in victory. Walk with me into the promised land. You will be my people and I will be your God. You have been washed clean by the blood of the Lamb. Jesus is the rock on which the very foundation of the world has been set. The covenant I make with you is for this generation and all generations. I am your God and you are my people. It's always been so. I bring to you peace and hope. Satan brings death and destruction. His time is almost up. The clock nears the midnight hour. Okay. So, covenant. God is a God of promise. A covenant is a promise. We enter into covenant with the Lord. We choose. We say, Lord, this is all we can do, is choose to accept Jesus into our hearts and to follow you. Living in covenant means we choose to follow him and walk out of his ways, not our own fallen ways. So in this book, I talk about more about that, God of his promises, what they meant, the old covenant versus the new covenant, the old covenant, which we broke, we divorced our God, the people of Israel fell away in every way that you possibly can. The kingdoms were divided. The people were scattered. All of that was according to God's plan. He knew it was going to happen, but he said, I'm going to make a way. And so I'm going to read to you just from Hebrews. This is New Testament. I want to show you this New Testament confirmation of what I'm saying. The Old Testament, the story, and that what he points to all of the Old Testament over and over again in most of the books, the scattering but regathering. So this is what it says in Hebrews. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will establish a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Those terms, the house of Israel is the northern kingdom. The house of Judah is the southern kingdom. And I go into an understanding of that in the book. Because right now, most people talk about the Jews are God's people. And I was raised to understand that. I didn't know there were any other people. I thought, well, Christians, you know, I've been told we're just grafted in. Thank God. Thank God he, you know, let us be a part of what he's doing, right? Whew. Dodged a bullet. but no. The Lord, and in this book, I unravel that mystery of God knows every one of his children. And if you are a Christian, you are a child of God. And you aren't just this like backup plan. You were always a part of his plan. He always knew. And your blood is his. You are a child of God. You are one of the 12 tribes of Israel. You might not know which one, but you are. If you belong to Jesus, you are a part of the 12 tribes. And that scripture shows us in Revelation that there's 12 doors that you enter his eternal kingdom, this new earth, this new heavens that comes. You have to enter through one of the 12 tribes. You cannot enter any other way. And that's how we know that as Christians, we're not just like the Gentiles and all that false understanding that I don't have time to go into today, but that we're a part of the 12 tribes. We're part of his story written from the beginning of time. And so this house of Israel and house of Judah that you read about over and over and over again in the Old Testament, what is he talking about? He's talking about the 12 tribes together. So it's a lie that God's people are only the Jews. That's a lie from the pit of hell. It's not truth. It's not scriptural. So the truth is the 12 tribes are God's children. They are Israel. God chose to have 12 tribes, not one or two or three, 12. And there's another mystery that I'll just briefly go into, because I say there's 12 tribes, but the mystery chose to do, which is so incredibly beautiful, is he gave Joseph, who was Rachel's son. Jacob had four wives, Leah and Rachel, who we believe they were sisters, twin sisters, actually. And Rachel had two sons, Benjamin and Joseph. Joseph was the firstborn, and then Benjamin, and she actually died in childbirth having Benjamin. And so Joseph had two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. He had Manasseh first and then Ephraim. And so this story, God's story, is that Isaac, Jacob's father, Israel's father, Isaac, bestowed upon Israel, Jacob, and his sons, Joseph, a double birthright. He chose to give Joseph a double birthright. And there's scripture that talks about what will happen to Joseph's, the promises God makes to Joseph's offspring in the last days. There's these very specific promises to Manasseh and Ephraim, and that Ephraim will be greater than Manasseh. He will have his kingdom first, that he will, you know, he will grow, his people will be across the face of the earth. And Manasseh will be a great nation. And so anyway, kind of the exciting part, and I really hope and pray that, you know, if this is of the things I'm speaking of are interesting to you, that you'll take time to get the book and read the book. Not at all because I need to sell a bunch of books. I don't. And I don't need to, you know, I don't get my value from this, but it's an incredible story. And I got, you know, I'm so excited the way the Lord showed this to me. I really can't wait for others to see it and get it and recognize how miraculous it all is for things to have played out the way that they did, for God's word to be perfectly fulfilled in Ephraim, who, you know, basically historical records, genealogical records, archaeological records, all of that points to the fact that Ephraim, the fulfillment of the promises made to Ephraim, can be found in the British Commonwealth of Nations, the empire that ruled the earth before our great nation, the United States of America, rose up. And so this British Commonwealth, England, the Great Britain, Scotland, Ireland, all of these, and then of course all of their wonderful exploring, you know, where they went across the earth. And there was a time where the word was said that the sun never sets on the nation of Great Britain. The sun never sets because there's somewhere across the globe that there are people that have come from Great Britain and settled. And now there's also some, you know, negativity that goes with that, animosity. I think we saw that in the latest trip that the royals went on, you know, where they weren't even welcomed in a certain land. And I don't know the whole story behind that, but so there's animosity there. But it was interesting to see the way that God's word said that this will happen, and how was it actually fulfilled in Ephraim. And so, and then, so Ephraim, even though, so Manasseh was born first and then Ephraim. So Ephraim had, the word says Ephraim will basically have this kingdom, and then will come Manasseh. And so in the same way that the fulfillment of Ephraim is shown to be the nation of the Commonwealth of Nations of Great Britain, in the same way, the fulfillment of Manasseh is the United States of America. That's what I believe. That's what I believe the Lord has shown me. And I'm not the only one to come to this conclusion. There are men and women much smarter than I, and that have way more documentation and have spent lifetimes. I recently was connected with an author named Dan, who I'm going to get an opportunity here, hopefully in the weeks ahead, to meet with him. And it seems like he's spent a lifetime with the Lord giving him the revelation of this and what will happen in the last days, and this, you know, Manasseh's place in biblical scripture and prophecy. That, you know, I recently saw on YouTube a pastor that said, you know, you can't find America in scripture. And, whoop, I just had a door. Sharon. Are you hearing me okay, guys? I just heard a ding.
Yes, Sister Diana okay. got booted off and she's back.
Oh, okay.
Go ahead
okay.
and we'll, I'm yeah. glad she yes. made it back.
I'm here.
Okay, no problem. Okay, sounds good. And so anyways, I'm getting close to kind of wrapping this part up. So anyways, just this place of God doing what he said he would do and the promises given to Ephraim and Manasseh. And I think I was talking about Dan, that this author, you know, who's given his life over to an understanding of what God is going to do through our nation, America, and that you can't find the word America in the same way you can find, Damascus, for example. Damascus is in the Bible. You can't find New York City in the Bible, but you can find our country and the roots of our country and the promises God made to the descendants of Manasseh found in what God has chosen to do in and through America. And so I write about that here in this as well. So, but I want to go back. I wanted to kind of give you that understanding of Israel and Judah. And it's so important that it's important to God. So God could have done whatever he wanted to do. God's story could have looked like anything. This is what it looked like. He had a people named Israel. He knew that they were going to fall away. They were going to fall short, but he made a way for them to come back together, for the Jews, the Southern kingdom, to come back together into the land of partially in Israel, and for there to be a Jerusalem, there to be a second temple, for Jesus to be born in Bethlehem. God made a way for his word to be fulfilled through the Southern kingdom of Judah and the Jews. And the Jews, they are God's people, though they don't know the fullness, they don't know the truth of what God has done through Jesus. So many of them don't know. The Messianic do, they've accepted Jesus into their heart, but so many of the Jews don't know. And so here you have this today, the secular nation of Israel. It's primarily a secular nation of Israel that doesn't know the fullness of who God is and the promises that he's already fulfilled. They're living back in the land, and praise God for that. But God's word says there's so much more. There will be a coming back together of all 12 tribes and the people of America. And there could be people in America who are from the tribe of Reuben or from the tribe of Levi, who are, you know, so I'm not saying that every person who lives in America has to be from Manasseh. Lord God spoke to me, you know, he spoke to me and he told me, I am from the tribe of Manasseh. And the Lord said to me very clearly in a very special, pivotal encounter in my life, he said to me these words, and I take them very seriously. He said, Rachel, it is time to lead. It is time to lead your brothers Manasseh to me. When he spoke it, I didn't have a full understanding of what he was saying. I had no way to know how I could ever do that. I know that this book is a starting point to being obedient, to do what he said I am to do. I believe there's more. There's always an unraveling as we walk our lives out with him. And so I want to go back to kind of wrap this together with the word covenant. I chose to enter into covenant with God. I chose to make a promise in my heart that I can only fulfill through him, but he is a God of covenant. He's a God of promises. And so I'm going to go back and finish reading from Hebrews. This is Hebrews 8:6-13. Behold, the days are kind. It's actually basically restating what we read in Jeremiah as well. So, behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will establish a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not like the covenant that I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. For they did not continue in my covenant. And so I showed no concern for them, declares the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. That's us. We are a part of the house of Israel. I will put my laws into their minds and write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall not teach each one his neighbor and each one his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, for I will be merciful toward their iniquities and I will remember their sins no more. So God, this God of covenant, this God of promise that says, you know, I even though I was with them back then and they chose to fall away from me, I'm choosing to do this after those days, in these last days, declares the Lord. And I can know in my heart, and maybe if you're listening, you know this in your heart, that he is putting his laws in your mind. He is writing his laws in your heart. You can feel and you can know deep within yourself that you belong to him. You belong to someone. If we look at what the enemy has done, I hate to give him any credit because he just stinks. But man, he's full court pressing this generation on the issue of identity, from the fatherless, the orphan. You know, you're not really a boy. You're not really a girl. You know, is it really a sin to a boy to get together, a girl and a girl to get together? You know, you're the animals. We have in I would like to think conservative Nebraska, we have even in our high schools, this place of girls that think they're cats. You think it just boggles the mind, but it's this attack on identity. If we'll know that we are who he says that we are his, he is our God, we're his people, then it changes everything because now we belong to him. We can know he's a good father. He has a plan for our lives, despite what we see, despite the circumstances around us, despite, you know, when this bomb falls, this lie comes out, this person breaks our heart, deceives us, whatever it might be, we can know deep within ourselves, he's got a plan. And so what does that look like for us then? What does that look like for us when we can resolve the matter in our hearts that we belong to him? He's always had a plan and he loves us. He is prepared and ready to make a way for us. We can receive that, but that's just like receiving salvation. We receive salvation. We make a choice and we receive it. And then we have a choice to make. Will we follow him? Will we allow him to do the work in our hearts, forsaking all else? Are we willing and ready to let go of the luxury around us? And I'm speaking to Americans, the way that we live, you know, here I am in this beautiful hotel. I mean, what we have is incredible. What God has chosen to give us is beyond for certainly what we deserve. We don't deserve any of it, but he's chosen to bless us. His word said he would bless us and he's blessed us. And here we are. We're a blessed people. But are we willing in the months, even in the years ahead, to let go of whatever we have, whether it's a stockpile of food and water, whether it's a safety and domicile, to be prepared in our hearts and ready when he gives the call to come out of wherever we are, not to do it ahead of time, but to do it on time when God says, and this is the issue of Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. We have to get ready. We have to be ready. We have to practice. We need to be in a place listening, and we're ready and we're holding everything with open arms, including our own family, our neighbors, our schedules, our jobs, ready to follow him because he will lead us into safety. But we can know the word says there will be. We can know that it's not going to be, if there's really are billions of Christians on this earth, we can know that it's not going to be a billions of Christians. So if you're listening, what is the place in your heart that God is calling you to be part of the remnant? And that is the matter. That is the matter that we need to be focused on in the days and the weeks and months and all of that ahead of us, resolving that matter that I there's nothing I won't do to not be a part of that remnant. Lord, I will give it all. Lord, I will trust you with every part of my life and search my heart, Lord, to show me right now today, any part, any way that I'm not ready, any part of my life I have not given to you or I'm not willing to give to you, Lord, search my heart, like to have that place of intimacy with the Lord every single day. And I'm going to be honest with you. I fall short. Most days I fall short. God has so much more to give me than I've made time for, than I've been willing to prioritize. So I'm the least of these when it comes to listening and being obedient and following. But yet somehow he loves me. Somehow he forgives me. Somehow he's just never going to give up on me. He's never going to stop pursuing me or you, no matter how we fall short. And so that's the message in my heart. That's the word, that's what this book is about. This revelation that I believe changed my life and can change other people's lives. I pray that God would do the work to make that come to pass. So thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So Andrew and Diana, that I feel like is what the Lord would have me share today. I would love to know if any response or feedback or questions that you might have in that as we Lord. Wrap up.
Yes. Yes. Here's what happened to me here. I don't know. I was out of commission there for about 10, 15 minutes, Rachel. So I missed part of it, but it was a massive hailstone that came upon me. And, you know, I mean, I tried to take a video, but it was beating down on my house. And I thought, and I just started laughing because it's like, oh, come on. Wow. Can you do better than that? So I just felt it was a huge attack, but I just laughed and I just, you know, rebuked the storm. And if the Lord wanted me back on here, he'd bring me back on, but praise God. I've read the book. I'm telling you, I recommend that the listeners, they go out and they get the book, the Revelation of Israel. Just a real snippet here, back in the 80s. And you and I have a similar story. It's just amazing to me listening. But I was raised and cut my teeth on the Old Testament back for the first 15, 20 years of my walk. We lived in the Old Testament, and then I came, you know, suffice that to say, I understood about the 12 tribes, how, you know, the northern and the southern kingdom and all that. And then I, in the 80s, come to the understanding of the migration and the dispersion of the 10 tribes, and how just exactly what you are speaking about in the book, that the British Commonwealth, those nations as a whole, not like you say, they're all the tribes are dispersed. There's some everywhere, but as a whole are Ephraim, and then the U.S. being Manasseh. And, but I just want to tell you something, but I just forgot about it. You know how when the Lord, you mentioned a little bit about that, you know, he shows you something and you just don't really press into it. I just thought, okay, that's just part of my understanding, da da da, what he's shown. And I go on years later, the hell, no. Anyway, it's trying to come down again. But years later, I went to Israel, and I see in the book you were there in 2017, and I went there at the end of 2016. But I just want to tell you what happened to me, and I've forgotten all about what the Lord had shown me all those years ago. I went out onto the balcony the morning that I got back, the very first morning, got back, the very first morning after I had gotten to Israel, went out on the balcony, and I'm looking out at the Sea of Galilee, and oh, the Spirit of the Lord, it was so, oh, I just was praising him. Out of my mouth, I said, Father, I'm home. And it kind of startled me because I thought, where did that come from?
Wow.
Father, I'm home.
Yes.
You know, but it was by the Spirit, you know. And then after that, after I came home and everything, the Lord would whisper, you're an Israelite. You're an Israelite. And he kept telling me. So, I mean, it's like, oh, yeah. Okay. Yes. Okay. And then later on here, not too long ago, he showed me through my family crest and things like that, through England and, you know, what was on there and all that, that I was from the tribe of Judah. But I'm just, this is so wonderful that the things that you share, and it's just what you said, God is waking people up. You know, he's giving us pieces as we're able to receive them, you know, and I too, I grieve, just like what you said, about the same time period, it sounds like, but I grieve for my life, my family's life, and the people of the earth, when he showed that I was still going to be here when the calamities began, because I had gotten to a point at that time, I was pre-trib, I was going to be out of here, you know, but yes, just that I was going to be here, and so then I began to understand, you know, the role, but going forth and doing the works of Jesus, the works of Jesus as he fully indwells his people in the days ahead. So I also want to just say, he says just what you were referring to in here, that the fulfillment of all things is at hand. And he has repeatedly said that recently. So I just, and Andrew may want, I don't want to take away from anything you said. I want to go back and listen again because I missed a part of it. But Rachel, I personally want to thank you so much for joining us today and sharing, you know, what the Lord's put on your heart for this hour. And I, again, I want to highly recommend the folks get the book because it is rich with tons of information. It has so many scriptural references talking about how the Lord is going to reunite the house of Israel with the house of Judah in the days ahead. And it even talks, I don't know if you mentioned this on there about, but it even talks about when the judgments are falling. This is our day. This is just ahead. So anyway, Andrew, I'm going to back off and let you comment and close it out if you feel led to do so.
Well, I definitely feel led to do so because this dear sister and her amazing husband and children loaned her to us for a while on her last day of vacation. Otherwise, I would probably go on for 15, 20, 30 minutes because I was just sitting back and listening to every word that he had you share. And it was such a blessing. You know, the only thing I'll say in my case, my number one moment with God was my spiritual heart transplant. And I've given a public witness of that recently. But my second moment, biggest moment, was on the subject of identity. And basically in a, you know, 30 second example, I mean, the Spirit of the Lord showed up in my home. I was like hovering over my head. Next thing I know, the only way I can explain it, he was pointing in the word and said, this is who you are. And it was a very specific place in the Bible. And I started arguing with God. And I quickly was overwhelmed and lost that argument. And a huge download came into my heart. And then I heard the Father speak to me. And, you know, every one of us, like you said, it's so amazing how I can communicate. And you also brought up seeing in the Spirit. Diana and I have talked, and you confirmed with what you said in that regard. We need to address and share up ahead, not only how to maybe see in the Spirit, which that'd be a great topic for you to come back someday if God makes the way, how to hear from God, testing the Spirit. But this book of Rachel's is so powerfully, and when you said you wrote it in 2 weeks, I just shook my head. And like you said, only God can do that. It has been a huge blessing. It puts so many pieces together. And like you said, the majority of it is scripture. And I just thank God for giving you that wisdom and revelation. And each of us have had different ways of how he's leading us to or out of the identity crisis. My only other thing I would say to anyone else listening is if this has spoken to you, which I'm highly confident it has or will, or if you don't have the fullness of the understanding, read the book for sure and go to your Father and on your knees, whatever the words sound like, show me the fullness of who I am. Help me encounter the fullness of the revelation with eyes to see and ears to hear who you have created me to be. And, you know, the Bible says, I think it's in Ezekiel 22:30, you know, I looked for a man among them who would build the wall and stand in the gap or stand before him in the gap on behalf of the land. And at that time, he found none. However, to each and every brother and sister, son and daughter who has had that moment where you say, Why am I here? Who am I? God, use me. And you stand in the gap, then odds are you're activated. He's working. You're part of the group that is called to labor in the great harvest. But he will show you, he will confirm, and he's just waiting on us. And look, Father God, I just pray blessing over Rachel and her family once again. Thank you for their availability. Thank you for the wisdom and the nuggets that you have shared through her testimony, her witness. The part where she said, I first had to grieve the life I thought I would have, or that the way it would go with my family and children, that just pierced through. And I think many of us have and are coming to that realization. But thank you for the encouragement that what you have ordained, what you have seen from outside of space and time is so much more exciting and amazing than we can imagine. And I just pray blessing over them, over Diana and all of your people. And we thank you for this day, and we're grateful for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Andrew and Diana. Thank you, guys. Amen. Bless you.
Rachel, would you, can you tell the people how they could, do you have a website, you know, just how to reach out and find it?
Yeah, absolutely. You can go to therevelationofisrael.com and purchase it there. And you can also purchase it on Amazon. Although I'm not as happy with the quality of the book on Amazon, the Lord showed me it's really important that this is just really beautiful and well-made and all those things. And so, but you can get it there too, and it's probably a little bit faster. So, but the Revelation of Israel is my website. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you, sister. And we just lost Diana again, but I'm going to stop recording and have a great rest of the day and safe travels home.
Thanks so much, Andrew. I look forward to talking to you again. All right, bye.
Sounds good.